As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, breathe your spirit upon us at this time. Bless now the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts. Give us an understanding of your holy word and lead us in the way you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So the pandemic, anybody notice we're in a pandemic? Does anybody notice that? Has sent shockwaves into the global economy. And in order to keep our economies moving through this virus, many countries have had to lend support to its citizens with monetary relief. As a nation, we will experience large deficits and a huge debt load for the foreseeable future. There is good news in this, guys. I'm coming to it. Or on an individual level, many of us have lost jobs which may never return and are having ourselves to acquire personal debt in order to pay the bills. So these deficits and debt loads for everyone threaten the stability and security of our political systems. Here's the good news. In the spiritual realm, in our spiritual life, Paul in Romans writes that the only thing we're to have is a debt, he writes, to owe no one anything except what? To love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So in other words, instead of owing on credit cards and mortgages, our spiritual life has everything to do with loving one another. And we owe love, and that is our debt as a disciple of Christ. It is our primary debt. And Scripture tells us that when we meet someone, we are to think, I owe him or her love. And the reason we owe them love is that Jesus paid our sin debt when we were flat broke. All spiritual teachings, I read the other day, are in vain if we cannot love. The cross, the willing sacrifice to lay down his life, we overflow with gratitude and experiencing God's love. We have no choice but to love whoever we meet. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to love somebody. It's not easy for us. So I don't want you to think this is some kind of Pollyanna sermon here. In the early church, people would remark on how the believers loved one another. It was noticeable and totally countercultural because it was love that had nothing to do with one's status or position, one's gender, a wealth, but simply a response to the great love that God has shown them in the person of Jesus Christ. Someone said that in Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, there are 538 sins to commit and 613 laws to break. I think I'm up to about 1,000 there. There are 1,151 ways to go wrong every minute of every hour of every day. And Paul knew that, but he said love is the fulfillment of the law. And he didn't want us to get sidetracked. Our highest obligation is to learn how to love one another. And if we are able to do that, if we are motivated by love, we're going to get all the rest. And in verse 10, he says, love is the fulfilling of the law. We will do good. We will reach out. We will be help when we put loving first. I have had the privilege of walking with many people who are close to death. And the one I'm reminded of, a gentleman that I did walk with. And he knew that his life was going to be over. And the conversation we had was profound. He asked, why is it that it's not until we are certain that we're going to die that we begin to get it? We see things so clearly. We really begin to understand what love means and loving others look like. And then he and I talked about the importance of relationships, how silly it is to hold on to anything that doesn't reflect love. We concluded that if every person knew the hour of their death, we would live our lives in a different way. And I've been thinking about that, And in the light of the reading from Romans, Paul reminds us that you know not what time it is. Now is the time for you to wake from your sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first became believers. Well, we still have time. We were able to lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What a wonderful image, the armor of light. You know, I guess it's just not waiting until we got no more time, but live now from the inside out. We are true followers of Christ, and we will put his love into action. We who have been given so much can love so little often. When we love from a holy inside, then loving others is like breathing, so natural we don't even have to think about it. And before his death, Jesus' last instructions to his disciples were, "So now I am calling you, giving you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. You should love one another. Your love for another will prove to the world that you are my disciple." How do we get it so wrong? Why, as a dying man questioned, do we not understand what this loving business is all about until we have so little time left? When we love each other, we make ourselves bigger. We establish the dignity of every human being made in the image and likeness of God and beloved of the Father. And we hear many messages on many Sundays about love, about our responsibility as good Christians to love one another. For the real strength of Christianity is the type of people it creates. If we are truly interested in being the church, the people God has designed us to be, we will spend the remainder of our lives devoted to loving people, blessing those that curse us, no matter who they are. And that's how we show the presence of Christ in the world. We show Christ in our lives by loving one another, and this will show others how to love. My dying friend gave me a gift. By sharing with courage and integrity, don't wait until it's too late. Grab this moment and ask God to break down and remove anything that does not reflect his love. And it is not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. Spend time in his presence, spend time in the word, and your life will begin to change. Make a small adjustment. Now, for me, I was reminded this morning because I had to go to Rona to get some light bulbs. And I didn't park very well. And I recalled that yesterday I did curse somebody who also did not park very well in Savon. So that's a small adjustment I'm going to make. I'm going to stop cursing people who don't park well. So if God can trust us to make little adjustments, then he will trust and give us larger responsibilities. So owe to no person anything but love. Look at every person and say silently, "I owe you love." And I've been doing that, reminding on the seawalk as I'm walking and I'm meeting, you know, the folks that I meet on the seawalk. I just silently say, "I love you inside." And you will, if we do this, we will be giving an incredible gift, the gift of love. It is God's love we are called to give freely to others. This is our primary debt. Let us pray. Lord of eternity, whose power is infinite, whose days are without number, and whose mercy is beyond our fathoming, keep our faces always turned toward you, so that each day we remember that life is your gift, and the hour of our death is unknown. And when we finally meet you face to face, transform us in the fire of your love and receive us into your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.